divert you from serious thinking or conversation. I think Adolf Hitler's big thing was the cinema, the Western movies, and the use of cinema. And I think Hollywood is just as sophisticated, except now we're looking at it better.
Uh-huh. And you don't know who to trust. Even so-called liberals or people who like to project a liberal image. These actors like George C. Scott.
Or Jane Fonda.
Scott was one of the MCs at the Bob Hope birthday. Bob Hope, who was sitting next to Reagan at the time.
Yeah.
And he introduces them and talks about how great friends they are. You know?
Well, I have a story I was going to bring in to put on World Watches tonight, just a short one on that new book on Holden that I referred to last week. And this is, somebody mailed this to me from up in Santa Cruz. It says, William Holden was with his psychologist, Michael Klassman, and told him, in quotes, "Over the years, I've done certain things, performed certain missions for the government that are so secret, I can't talk about them to anyone, even you." That's the psychiatrist. He says, that's what Bob Thomas reports in his upcoming book, Golden Boy, The Untold Story of William Holden and His Work for the CIA. Okay, so we have the untold story of Errol Flynn and the untold story of Holden and the untold story of Gene Peters and Jill St. John, and you take like 60 or 70, and they are bag men, bag women with interconnecting, intercontinental links using like the Wildlife Foundation with Kasagi and Lockheed. And acting is just a sideline. It's like this fellow that wrote on the murders he did for the CIA, and he worked at the Barnyard Theater here, and he'd done a lot of murders, and he was an actor, so they sent him to New York, and he was in a play, Tiny Alice, and had his screen and acting credits. But he also was a killer for the CIA. He lives on a peninsula on and off most of the time. His brother lives here and brags about it.
Yeah, it was one of the ironies of Hollywood history. Their leading men turn out to be the most rapacious villains.
Uh-huh. The
hero is really a villain, you know. I mean, it's one of those reversals of history.
Well, even the soft guys are villains sometimes. I mean, it's so mixed up because once you get a spy system and once you incorporate with Hitler's Nazis and Reinhard Galen and the whole network, then you really hardly know who's who or what's what. You have to not only watch what they act and what studio they work for, but who they socialize with and where they travel or how they're killed, and then put pieces together.
Another thing they've got going for them is that they have blurred the distinction between real life and fantasy.
Well,
to the point where many Americans will see a character year after year and after year and believe that character is the person who...
Exactly.
You know,
they think of them as the liberal or the toughie or... Yeah.
Right.
And
they project images and manipulate consciousness that way, and in that sense, it's essentially propaganda.
Well, yeah, if you fall for it. Yeah. So
propaganda means, by definition, is something you fall for.
Yeah, it's a stereotype of a person, and they play these roles, and we think of them as the people that they're acting.
Uh-huh.
And not what they really were.
And also not just individuals, but history.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it isn't just, it seems to me anyway, that it isn't just a Hollywood image of say, Rome. It seems like it's more of a part of a much larger distortion.
Oh, yes.
Hollywood has now made a fine art.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take the movie producers and you look at their biographies and the kind of
like
lives...
The DeMille biography was aired on a PBS station.
Oh, really?
This last weekend.
Yeah.
And it mentioned his right-wing connections and the people he tried to slander.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the McCarthy era there.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah.
He did okay, yeah. And they blackball certain actors, and they keep them from getting jobs. And it's the cinema is very political, and the soap operas and the TV, they are too. That's why I try to stay away mostly from the American cinema and enjoy the European, because they go for the art form, not for the jugular.
Yeah.
And they,
there's no such thing anymore as innocent entertainment.
Well, I think that some of the foreign films, like I saw La Coup...
No, not as far as Hollywood.
Hollywood, no. I saw La Coup de Torchon at Dream Theater recently, and it's one of the best foreign films of the year, and it was just so marvelous how free it was. They could use good actors, a good story. The story said something. It was in comedy form, but it hit you on the head with a wallop. It was very sophisticated. There were no name people to push, you know, no People magazine covers, just a story and a philosophy and something very meaningful. And these French or Italian or Swedish films have that. Even the British, the Americans just don't have it. It's politics most of the time down. Yeah, pretty bad.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Bye now.
Incidentally, speaking of film and cinema, be sure to see Blue Thunder. I'm going to see that. That's about the Los Angeles Police Department. You may get a little picture of what's going to come for the Olympic Games and crowd control. As I said, the Austin police are going to use electric prods. This is the first time they've used them in Texas. The Germans are getting ready with millions of dollars of chemicals for riot control. The United States, the Los Angeles area, the electronic wave mind control to erase the mind and have you stand still and behave or to be neutralized. They've been working that for 10, 20 years, so that should move along. If you have any opinions upon that, let me know what you think about using electric prods. They said it leaves no mark, any physical mark. The police could use it and shock suspects who are already handcuffed and torture them like they do in South America and Asia and around the world in CIA goon squads. But this is one of the things that they're going, or already begun, the electric prods in Austin, Texas. 3753082, this is Mae Brussel. If you call in and have a question on any of these subjects, do you have any opinions on the US Festival that just ended down in Los Angeles? They had quite a few people. It isn't the Woodstock, as the media said. The Good Morning America tried to say it was a zoo. I don't think it was a zoo. I think it reminded me of Altamont and the Rolling Stones, where the Hell's Angels were there and a lot of drugs were poured in and given out free, and the killing on camera. It showed a lot of violence, and a lot of it comes when you take drugs and in the sun like that and pretty dry and hot. The Clash were there. They are the most radical group and probably the only political group there. I don't think they should have showed up. If they're radical, they should have stayed away, but they went. Okay, here's another call. Hello?
Hello, Meep. I'd like to know if you've done any research on AIDS disease, the gay cancer.
AIDS disease?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have saved articles on when it first started, how fast it's going, how many people are dying, the statistics on it. I'm very suspicious of these new diseases like Legionnaire disease.
Right, and especially when they show up in places like concentration camps for the Haitians.
That's right, and the Haitians. I mean, you have to blame the blacks, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't just have a disease. And so you blame the Haitians, and you single out a segment of the population that now play bingo instead of making love, and you wipe them out, you know, and scare them, and scare the blood banks. I gave blood over the community hospital a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me if I'd been around anyone with AIDS, so it's almost like singling, you know, a Jew or a black or somebody. It's a new minority, the gays with AIDS. And it's serious. It's not a joke. But you think of the Legionnaires' disease, and what was it? Jerry Ford had us all get shots for the swine flu.
Right.
I mean, and you have that center in Atlanta, Georgia, for disease control. And I said for a long, long time, for years on the air, get rid of that place. It'll bring diseases. It'll wipe out populations. They have vials to wipe out entire populations. There was no thing as the Legionnaires. It started, you know, in a hotel in Philadelphia. Now, every once in a while, they put it through air pipes, I believe. It was like the documentation at the time of Watergate. The Republicans were trying to get the floor plans and the air conditioning plans for the hotels where the conventions were for the Democrats. Well, what did they want them for? There were people in the CIA, like Fletcher Prouty with the Pentagon and CIA, said that they put poisons through the ducts. But they have an excuse to get you off guard. Take the American Legion. These devoted American people are fairly old and retired anyway from World War One or Two. They weren't Vietnam veterans hardly. And give them a little sickness and cause a little hysteria. And I'm sure that they're timed, too, to get people, you know, suspicious of each other. So that it singles out a minority of, say, the homosexual. And nobody trusts them. I just read that landlords don't want to rent to them. And then there was a picture on TV about 2 weeks ago of the San Francisco police. They have gas masks and gloves. So if they have to go to a case, they'll be sure they don't get AIDS. I mean,
right.
It was just like street warfare. God, I mean, I haven't seen the movie War Games, but can you dress up like Star Wars, you know? Like, in case I find one of you people in the crowd, I'm ready for you.
Right.
So I'm sure they have the electric prods next, you know, but how? It's so obvious to handle it in this way, because, see, I don't think there's more homosexuals in San Francisco than there are in Paris, or New York, or Chicago, or Detroit. I just think they're visible because they want political rights, and San Francisco is the origin of the Prisoners' Union and the free speech movement over at Berkeley, and the Black Panthers, and the women's movement, and the Vince Ramos, and it began with a lot of people who began Ashbury that more politically aware. And the rock music and the congregation, not what we're hearing now, the hard metal, but the folk songs and crowds gathering and going around, hitchhiking and so forth. So it was a perfect place to target a group that said, look, I don't want to pretend anymore. I'm going to come out and parade, and you know, I want equal jobs. And we'll, you know, they put a guy in the supervisors, and then he's shot down. You know, the guy, you know, Dan White goes and reloads the gun to make sure he gets the gay supervisor. So if you can do that and get away with it and go off to Ireland next year, you can certainly give a little disease and not worry.
Right. Well, it's certainly a disease to watch.
It really is. I was reading the play Good. I got it this week, and I saw it in New York. You really have to read the play. And there's a line in there with this guy. It's the story of an ordinary man and how he becomes a strong Nazi. And he's talking to himself almost in the play. And he says, you know, I wouldn't like to be in the concentration camps. And he said, you know, I wouldn't like to be tortured by Himmler. And I don't want to die, he says, but the Jews, they're low on my totem pole. He says, I don't think much about them. So society does the same thing with gays. You know, okay, they got AIDS, but I can't worry about that. You know, like, they deserve to have it, they're gays, right?
Right.
But they may give it to you, so isolate them. Wear your clothing and your gloves. And if they want political rights, single them out, they're sickos. As long as they stay in the closet, Obama's like the military generals, like General Walker and Clay Shaw and Jack Ruby and all the top military generals on their submarines and boats and West Point and Annapolis. What do you think they're doing? Yeah. After they go prep school and all the boys' schools and the military schools in the South, what do you think they come out? You know, so heterosexual?
But, well, thank you.
But they're not giving them AIDS, okay?
Okay.
Just the Bay Area, I think. Okay,
bye-bye. Thank you.
I'm sure that AIDS is a national problem, but it really has been singled out on the West Coast, and it's kind of scary how easily the government can swing from swine flu to Legionnaires' disease to AIDS and have these things happen to a segment of the population. Let's see, we'll take another call now. Hello?
What do you think of the recent controversy with this L. Ron Hubbard and his billion-dollar estate?
L. Ron Hubbard?
Yes.
Okay, well, what I think is, I know there was an article just recently, it was a penthouse by his son,
yes,
who changed his name and is all sour grapes and
right,
says the old man's syphilitic and he's drugged and he's out of his mind. It reminds me of what the descriptions of Adolf Hitler at the end of the war, and I don't think either one is true. I think it's propaganda. The judge in Los Angeles has been communicating with L. Ron Hubbard and has read his book, and he gave the church, the son, I think every other time it was, it's a month or 3 months to prove that L. Ron Hubbard is out of his mind or sick or doesn't exist, because the judge has received correspondence. Hubbard has a new book out that's just about a bestseller. He's functioning, and he says he stays away because he wants to be, he would be killed. And nobody asked why would he be killed, but in all fairness, the Scientologists were the first people and the only people to expose the role of Interpol and J. Edgar Hoover to the Nazi connections. That J. Edgar Hoover was vice president of Interpol with the hardest Nazis, Kaltenbrunner, and the hard Nazis that want to control the world. And I'll mention a segment of that in a few minutes on World Watcher. But he took a very courageous stand and photographed the people and their meetings and how Interpol was formed and how the Nazis are into mind control and brain surgery and experimentation. So if he says they want to kill him, I believe it. They've killed people for less.
Hubbard exposed the
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sometime if you want, I'll do a broadcast. I have all these files and glossies and prints. L. Ron Hubbard was the only person in the last era to, through Freedom Magazine and through a subscription, if you wrote to him, who sent glossy pictures of the members of Hitler's Interpol that were in the SS. in the Gestapo and formed the International Police. See, it was Hitler's police in Germany. Then they moved to Paris after the war, to Belgium and Paris. And our FBI and G. Gordon Liddy was part of Interpol, the Treasury Department at the time of Watergate. And Liddy has this German Nazi complex, and Robert Mardian from the Justice Department was at the time of Watergate studying Gestapo pictures down in the archives in Washington, just what we need, okay? So that Ron Hubbard made a very courageous expose, and a thorough one, not having to do with religion, but with history, because as long, and he's right, as long as you have a belief system and these Nazis exist, you can't exist side by side.
Well, his son made it sound like he was like the Howard Hughes you described.
The loner. Well, there's a different, yeah, they're trying to say that he's off and dead and has no mind, that when last seen he was syphilitic and insane, okay?
Well,
he corresponds.
Insane because he was dabbling in the, with black magic.
Yeah, they said magic and drugs.
Right.
Okay, now, his book that came out, for all purposes, I've just seen excerpts and reviews, seems of a clear mind. Okay, there's a new book out right now by L. Ron Hubbard, and it seems of a clear mind. And his letters to the judge. Now, if a double is playing him, it's a little different than the Howard Hughes case, because the Howard Hughes case involved maybe $200 or $300 million plus control of Lockheed Hughes aircraft, five Vegas casinos. This man isn't making any profit. If there is a double, there's no profit in it. It isn't a money-making machine. So
well, I think people are probably more apt to give credence to his son because of the Jonestown, just the general sort of rip-offs that have occurred with these
pseudo-spiritual groups. If you read a lot of plays in Macbeth and Shakespeare and Hamlet, if you read the tragedies, I mean, sons aren't always the most reliable people. This son, if he was L. Ron Hubbard Jr. and had a legitimate fear against his father's being abducted and killed, he wouldn't play the role of trying to take all the money, changing his name, disassociating himself, and disclaiming his credibility. He'd have to still explain. The judge says,
yeah, I got you. Yeah.
He says, tell me who's writing the books, tell me who's writing to me the letters, and prove it isn't him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you 3 months, otherwise I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, the calls go really fast. This is very nice. I like to do that. I can't do any more telephone calls because the time is short now. We'll have to stop the telephone calls and get ready for World Watchers in about 1 minute. I brought in a lot of other articles to share with you, but there isn't time. So we'll put them on the back burner. And again, if you have anything that you want to discuss that's more important than what I bring in, and it certainly is more important because the purpose is to take calls here, and I can get the other material on the air, and then we can share it and talk about it together. So the idea is to take the calls, and I like doing the calls. I've gotten letters from people who enjoy it, too. I really think it's nice to share this conversation with you, and I appreciate your calling. And we'll continue and do what we can in a half hour. It isn't much time, but I'm grateful for the time, and so we'll do the best we can in that particular time slot. And now we're going to go to World Watchers because it is time to begin that program. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.
World